Hey, it's Chuck. I just want to take a little time out here at the special thing. The show's going to run a little long today. Not really a little long, very long. It's about an hour. But before that, I wanted to talk to you about something that's kind of important. Right now, there's a bill trying to be passed called S-978. Now, what this thing does in a nutshell is it makes streaming copyrighted material a felony. Now, from what I understand from, you know, a lot of the people that I've been listening to and a lot of the bloggers, this would include, I mean, it's such a broad bill, it would include things like video game footage and things like that, that would make the copyright infringement really a felony, and therefore taking it out of the hands of the copyright owner's material and the people that own the copyrights, and really making it law enforcement's problem. So I'm going to link a site here on Riffrunners, riffrunners.info. I really like you to go ahead and click it and check it out, and, you know, contact the people that it suggests you contact, and really fight this bill. Because, I mean, it is good for, you know, not stealing other people's material. But little shows here and there, and places like YouTube that have video game walkthroughs and video game machinima, that will all be subject to this copyright law. So again, if you could go to this website, check it out, and do everything you can to fight this in your local area, and make sure that Congress knows that we don't want this bill to pass, or at least not in the way it's written now. Thanks, enjoy the show, and thank you for supporting Riffrunners.
Were you looking for the Riffrunners show? Were you looking for a man so knowledgeable, so informed, so intelligent, so riff-like, so fat, so living in a basement? Well, then you've come to the right place, because this is Riffrunners.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Super time.
It'd be like the chipmunk conversation.
Oh, that would be funny. Well, it is lengthy, though, but I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's worth it. It's worth, oh, you know what? Welcome to Riffrunners. Because that was the part where we were talking over music.
Ah.
So, welcome to Riffrunners. I am not Lyft. I wish I was Lyft, but I'm CB. Or Chuck. And as always, well, not as always, as the last couple times, which doesn't sound as awesome. Karis is with
me. Yes, I am Karis, and still Karis.
And we have a special guest who graced us after talking about him on the last show. We have the amazing, the understated, the impressive, the medically challenged, yet doctorish handlebars.
Hey, how you doing?
There you go. No. Two words, he's out of here. All right, well, that was the show. Thanks for...
Peace out!
All right, so, okay, so a little back history. Cersei, you've been with the guild. Reborn for a while.
Yeah, I'd say I've been playing for about 3 months, so about two of that would be I've been a guild.
Right, and you are a cleric that makes me cry?
I don't make you cry, I just hit buttons.
Because you are, like, always the top of the DPS, and it hurts.
Wicked DPS, for sure.
Whoa, it just hurts.
You're Chloro, you heal me, and you make me better.
There you go, that's right. Helping you helps me. That's what I like about video games. I think more people should think of those ideas. Helping you helps
me. Yeah, you heal me, I kill things, you get loot, we all win.
Winner! Alright, well, we're going to start the show off. We got a lot of fun topics to get to today. A couple, one important, we're brought to us by Karis, more scientific study, how to get your lady to play. Also, we're going to talk about macroing, good or bad, also brought to us by Karis. Evil pugs when you get into a problem, and it seems to just be the group, what do you do about it, how do you deal with it? Personal responsibility, which I talked about a lot, we refer to on the show as, of course, manners and awesomeness, but, you know, we'll get to that. And if we got time, maybe a couple other topics. But first, I have the most awesome tell. And I said the tell to both of you beforehand, and we decided that we're going to read it. So who wants to be the antagonist, and who wants to be me? Because I'm going to be the antagonist, I think.
She wants to be you.
What?
Betrayed.
Okay.
Am I really?
I don't know. Do you want to be me? You got to pretend to be me, though.
I don't know how to pretend to be you. Can I just be me?
Imagine you're in a basement, and that you have absolutely no career
like
goals,
this.
But you're an excellent parent.
So you want me to sound like an excellent parent?
Hey, be an excellent parent trapped in a basement with absolutely no money-making potential. Go.
I'm all over it.
All right. So, okay. What do you see? So, who wants to read me?
I'll be me.
You're going to be you? How does that help?
I'll be me being you.
All right. All right. So, here we go. All right. So, and you do know that all the ones marked me are me. I know it's confusing.
I was really confused on that. Yeah. I'm all over
right.
it.
I choose it back. I put up some runes, okay? And sometimes when I do wholesaling mats, just to, you know, clear out my inventory, I have occasionally gotten an angry tell from somebody. Hey, you know, you undercut me, and that's not cool. And you know what? It's a market. It's a business. So it's one of those things that amuses me. I don't know what people think are going to happen when you put stuff up, that people are going to be like, oh, I don't want to undercut this guy I've never met in the real world and probably never will because he'll be upset. No, I'm like, hey, I want to get rid of this crap as fast as I can. Let me put it up here. I'll mark it for next to nothing just to offload it. It's like yard sale prices, okay? Well, when I put runes up, I'm a little bit different. I look at the market. I think about how much it cost me to put it in the rune, and I put it up. All right. I have often, again, as I said, gotten tells, but this one was beautiful. All right, so we're going to read it, and I am playing the part of, and I normally don't use names on this show, but after I told him I was going to do this, he did not ask me to not use his name. So he was aware I was going to do it and did not ask me not to. So here we go. Kunvi, that is me. So I will be reading the part of Kunvi. I think that's how I'm supposed to pronounce it. Sounds a little skittish, but we're going to just use it that way. So as Kunvi. Hi. Chuck here. I'm actually editing the show, and I decided to pop in this little bit because what you're going to hear now is, this is really long. I mean, like, really long. So what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to go ahead and fast forward this, and it's going to be in a, I don't know, super time lapse kind of way. So it's going to be kind of high-pitched and fast. I'm sorry if it's not clear, but, you know, it'll all be posted for the transcript of this. Will be posted on the show notes. That being said, enjoy this really annoying sound effect.
I have a question. When you put runes up, do you look at how much they are before you do it? Because it seems to me like you don't like to make money.
And when?
We, as in more than just me, parentheses, jack up the price and you go undercut us by a huge margin. Like me, people that did not give me permission to use their names, even though they're on a thing. I'm not going to do it because I don't know. You know what? Everyone said I should mention this, so they should. If they don't like this, they should write in and disavow this thing. Kunvi wrote, like me, Sindri, Marble, Radeon, Napalm, Pet Group, .. etc.
Let me say, for example, that I have 36 indomitable runes.
And?
Now you say I undercut you, and I do once a week. I am making money.
Oh yeah, undercut, of course. No problem. I'm not saying don't undercut, just don't undercut by such a huge margin.
One time a week I make 30 plat. 2 plat isn't a huge margin.
Okay, I made 120 plat. You like to make more?
And mine will be gone quickly.
I mean, obviously, everybody wants to make money. It's just that when we put 4.79 plat for a rune, you go and put it for 3 plat. It just seems a little crazy. Sometimes, but you, not you, I've seen 50% undercut. And I won't lie, Blazing Tough sell for 4.79. Sure, they might sell faster at 3 plat, but you just dropped it down much faster.
Yes, because I'm not farming the mats, I'm simply packing them away and sell a few here and there.
Seems to me, if you can make them that cheaply, why inflate the market? That was me.
Let me read that. Seems to me, if I can make them that cheaply, why inflate the market?
Kunvi. Yeah, but when it goes down to like 80 gold or something, people like me go and raise it back up to have you guys just undercut the 3 plat again. Dude, all of us can make very cheaply.
So do it.
You're not the only one. We want to milk it as much as possible.
I will be mad.
Don't be like Dre.
Now, this is the point I'm going to stop reading just for a second and be like...
I left here too.
We all know Dre. You all know Dre. Dre is Drake when he moved to this server. This guy does not know that I know Dre. Here we go.
Don't be like Dre. I put resolutions 32 gold. Can I profit 32 gold? Yes, but I'm not going to waste my time on that anymore. I mean, better to sell a few runes for higher. Than many runes for lower. But that's just me. And yes, all of us can make runes for very cheap, but we don't want to because we like making huge profits. That's why we price match each other. Well, most of us do if you check it out. Or some people don't like to do it. Anyways, as a sign of good gesture, I'll match your 3 plat. We'll see where this goes. At least you didn't put me on ignore. Somebody did, which is kind of funny.
I make mine appealing by using your prices, which is fine by me matching me. But I'm playing a video game. You sound like this is a lifestyle.
No, I just like playing the AH. Parentheses, auction house. This is the aspect of the game I like.
Why would I ignore you? You had a valid question.
Somebody else did because they were pissed off when we kept undercutting each other. You might have to make it appealing for a good 10 minutes that you can have it up until people like us just undercut, you know.
And then?
I know what it is. It's who can stay up there the longest. It happened before.
I mean, mine will go back up and yours will go down and you lost money trying to push me out when I didn't even notice, lol. How did you think I ended up with so many?
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna post this in the show notes because you're right. This is gonna be really hard to read all the way through. I'm gonna go to the next line that's really important. I don't lose money. I am probably one of the richest people on the server right now. On this server, I have 8,625 plat.
Okay, so we're gonna stop here. Okay, and give some background. So this went on. There are, like, I don't know, 10 more lines of dialogue there. And he basically is telling me that I should play by the rules or they're going to keep undercutting me. Is that what everybody else got out of this?
Oh, yeah.
Then he was trying to sway to his side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you join us in the Runecrafters Mafia? So.
Yeah, exactly. He was trying to get you over there to the dark side first. Like, oh, hey, what's up, buddy? I noticed this. You know, why don't you not do that anymore?
Yeah, why don't you do it our way? Because our way makes money. And the biggest thing is, and I say this often, I said it earlier joking, but helping you helps me. He's basically saying, hey, I can blow these prices through the roof and make a ton of money if you do it my way. But they're not really what these are worth. I know they're worth less. I just want to milk everyone for all they're worth.
Totally.
Well, what happened to quality goods for quality prices? What happened to that? I don't know.
Not in this world. Are you crazy?
Yeah. You saw Wall Street a couple years ago. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. You inflate. The bottom falls out because one guy walks along. He's like, fuck it. I can get you oil cheaper than that. Shit, I got a whole field of it in my backyard. You guys can have it all. Market tank. But, you know, that's that. I know nothing about Wall Street. Don't write in. I don't know. I know that's not what happened. I just am making an observation that is completely fictitious. All right. But, what I think what really needs to be said here is the undercutting thing. He actually ignored Drake. And and Drake didn't write him. He wrote Drake, and then Drake tried to write him back, and he had him on ignore. And then Drake just started going back and forth, because he had a ton of these runes, and he just started undercutting him to, like, 32 gold. Because, now, this is where it gets weird. This guy's giving me business tips, which might have been valid till this following note. It costs you money to list things on the auction house. If you cancel your auction, you lose that listing price. This guy is going and canceling auctions when Drake undercuts him. He cancels all his auctions and then undercuts Drake.
I remember this. Drake was cracking up. He's like, I think I got this guy mad. And then he started undercutting, and then he's like, uh-oh, I think this guy's ignoring me.
So, see, but that part makes no sense, though. If he has all this plat, why isn't he just buying out all of the stuff that Drake's putting up on the cheap and then reselling it at a crazy jacked up price? That's making profit.
Right. Well, it's funny you should ask that. A few of us were curious the day this happened. So a couple of us got together, and since he already knew my name and knew I would be doing it, Ruff started doing it. Ruff started undercutting him, and then he would drop these crazy prices to just ridiculous prices on purple runes. And then Ruff would buy all his. And then
Ruff is genius.
He would cancel his other auctions to do it again when Ruff would undercut him. Then when he'd do that, he'd buy them all and relist them. And I got to thinking about it. Like, he keeps telling me how he's not losing the potential to make money. Or he is losing the potential to make money, but he's not losing money. No, my friend, when you cancel an auction, you're throwing money away.
He's looking at it only opportunity cost. He's not looking at the actual change he's throwing out of his pocket. That change adds up.
That's right. So, like, I don't know. So I guess this boils down to this is, I'm going to put this up on the show notes. You guys should definitely check it out. It's funny. This comes down to you should not expect everyone to play the way you play. And sure, if you want to get a bunch of friends together and run the market on the auction house, like in that show, The Guild, then you can. However, the problem is going to be when guys like me come along, and I only play this for fun, and you can keep undercutting me, but I don't care. Like, I don't even notice. I just take the shit off the auction house, and I relist it, or out of the mailbox, and I relist it on the auction house when it comes down, and it just goes right back up until it's all sold. And it's costing me pennies. And then I make money, you know, through the week. I make more than 30 plat a week. I maybe make about 100, 110, 112 during a week. But in the end, I don't need that money. I mean, what the fuck am I going to do with it?
I'm like you, I don't care.
Yes, I have 1,000 platinum, now what? You know, like, I mean, there's nothing I need for 1,000 platinum, so I just kind of make what I need, and I move on to play the game. And then I, you know, send alt money, maybe that's what I do, but aside from that, I don't have any real need for it, so he's hurting himself by setting that market up on such a weak, I don't know, balancing act, because then if I come through and I'm enough to throw them all off kilter, well, then your system doesn't work.
Oh, it's a very weak monopoly.
Right, right, absolutely. I mean, you know, it'd be one thing if, like, he had, like, 2 or 3 dozen guys, you know, running the market on runes, and then it was really difficult to make a rune crafter. But I'm going to tell everybody this right now. This is going to ruin the market on rune crafting. Rune crafting is the easiest thing to level in the game, and all you have to do is know one other maxed out rune crafter. That's it. All you gotta do is send all of the high-end, like, stack, like, 2 stacks of every other crystal except the green ones, the flickering crystals, and you send 10 stacks of those. And in an hour, you can be 300 runecrafting. And you know what it costs that guy? Nothing. Like, next to nothing to do that. It costs you, I don't know, maybe at most, like crazy pricing, 10 platinum. And that's if for some reason you had to buy something along the way to level it. I don't know what. But right now, you could level it in an hour with less than 10 plat. So,
it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, why you're, you know, I could see, if artificing, you wanted a corner market on artificing, that's a bitch to level. So, I mean, you can't go far that in one spot, go back home, buy a recipe that uses one material and one oil off the guy for next to nothing, and bam, you have all the materials you need. No, I gotta go farm this stuff and find little dots on the map and stack them all up, and I need 3 different sources for materials. I can see artificing being something you corner the market on. This just seemed ridiculous to me. And the fact that he was trying to, I don't know, for lack of a better word, strong-arm me? Just was
strong-arm
silly.
You or, like, recruit you? One of the two.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just silly. That's just silly.
There was a bunch of mixed messages there, honestly.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, well, let's move on. Now, we got other stuff, and a good reason to have Cerisia on the show today is, the next topic. How do you get your lady to play? How do you get your girlfriend, your wife, your that chick you really like across the hall? I know you college guys listen. You know, how do you get them to play and, you know, share an interest with you? And I have successfully done it now. My wife is playing. Dre is, I'm supposed to say, from his girlfriend. Dre got his girlfriend to play. She's in the guild. And I'm also supposed to say that that bastard won $100 from a Rift thing. That's what I'm supposed to say. That bastard, Dre,
that
won,
bastard.
Won $100 with something doing to Rift. That bastard. bastard cakes, bastard. Okay, that's right, I said bastard cakes. I should have a t-shirt that says that.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to bake some bastard cakes now.
There you go. All right, so how do you go about doing it? I would say the first step is appealing to their interest, which is, you know, easier than it sounds.
You know what the first step is?
The first step.
Now, this is totally a generalization. It could be different for everybody. But the first step is the character creation. If you want to get your girl to play, the character creation thing. Just, you know, have her sit there and look at the character and say, okay, honey, you can, like, change the eyes and the hair and the height and the skin color, everything. Girls just kind of like that kind of stuff. So they'll get interested right away from that. But the key thing about that is you don't bother her when she's doing it. Because she could probably take, like, a half an hour or an hour just getting her character just perfect. But if you rush her, you'll start ruining it for her. So don't rush her. Because this is her avatar, you know? This is who she's going to be in the game. And she wants to look perfect and everything. So don't rush her, but say, oh, yeah, she looks hot, babe. Looks great. That's usually what's getting them to get hooks in the beginning. Is, oh, wow, I can do all these different things to look a certain way.
I would just like to point out that aren't you the chick that every time something's said about your outfit, you're like, it's not bad.
Well, everybody has to talk about it because I'm not wearing any pants. And I am wearing pants. They're just, you know,
all right.
Short.
I want to offer this, and I hope guys from the guild are listening. Okay, your avatar is leaned over a car talking to the driver. What occupation do you think she has? I'm just saying.
Just because she's dressed this way.
I'm just saying that, you know, looks are deceiving, and mm-hmm. Your avatar looks like a hooker.
What? It's hot outside. I'm battle ready.
Yeah, right. No, I believe you.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Less clothing, more armor class. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Handlebars, my man. How did you get your girlfriend to play?
Pretty much the same way she did, honestly. Character creation is a big thing for my girlfriend, so she sat and she fiddled. But also, she's a longtime gamer, so I had an easy in. Show her the pets, make her run around. Look how pretty the world is. You can do PvP. Go.
Exactly.
Hey, you see those motherfuckers over there? You can kill them. I'll see you later, honey. I'll make dinner.
I walked back in like 20 minutes later, and she's like screaming at the screen. It was great.
Yeah, you know what? One of my favorite people to listen to play, and my wife is really fond of her too. Matter of fact, my wife is very fond of Karis and Mystery, so, like, there's a belief that I've conspired to not let her have a microphone, which is untrue, but she'll be like, key up, and I'll be like, oh, I'm gonna be like, key up, and then she's like, we were talking about the character creation, and she's like, yeah, he wouldn't let me create a character, he just slapped some shit together and threw me into the game.
That's messed up.
It's terrible.
You don't do that.
That's like rushing a woman before a party. You never do that.
You just don't.
I'm too old to party. I don't remember that life. But anyways, yeah. She started playing because not so much she was a gamer. I eased her into something. She wanted to play Dragon Age. She saw a couple people playing it, and she liked it, and then that was my end. I compared it in some ways to Dragon Age and showed her how she could do some things, and then she went back, and her first character now took her, and I'm not joking. Like, I'm being nice. Took her maybe an hour and a half to finish the character. And, you know, it was her character, and I didn't have to sit there and wait on her. I was doing something else, like I was reading at the time, so I was like, okay, take your time. This time, she was like, I don't want to play Rogue anymore, and I don't want you to level that up to 15, because I want to level it myself, so I know how it works. I was like, okay. So we made new characters, and we moved servers, and I apparently did not follow the rules for making, like, she had pink hair, and that was unacceptable. She had purple eyes, but they weren't purple enough, and she didn't like her face, because it looked fat and small. I don't know what that meant, so...
I'm trying to work that out too. That's confusing.
Yeah, I don't know. So, she you know, had a bunch of stuff about it, but she likes playing the mage. So that's how I did it. I worked her with a similar interest and gave her some pointers on how this is similar to something else she likes. And if she has zero reference point and she shows interest, run with it. I mean, she may hate it, but at least she tried. Because let me tell you, I've been married a couple of times, and you know, just trying to be interested in the things you care about is a big plus.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So I enjoy it. Like, even though she's a lot lower than me now, I enjoy doing things with her, or just, you know, sitting here and walking her through stuff. She gets mad, and she gets mad about little shit.
That was the other thing. If you know, if your girl starts playing, oh great, she has the perfect character. She's running around the world. She has no idea what's going on, especially if she's not a gamer from something else. The other thing is kind of let her do her thing. Don't be like, this is how you do it. If you continue to tell her how to play her tune, she'll lose interest. She'll be like, whatever. You're playing this for me now.
Fun bonding moments where you're just sitting there blowing crap up for her and she's running around looting.
It's like, but if you can show her how to blow things up, then she's like, oh yeah, I'm a badass. Look at me.
All right. And immediately she was the opposite. She didn't want me to do that. She's like, no, I don't want you to do that. I want to learn how to do this. Because if you do that, I'll never learn to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, well, then I get lazy and I'll think things work the way they don't.
Valid point.
Yeah. Right. Well, that would take us to our next topic, something also Karis brought to us. Macroing. Macroing pluses and negatives, pros and cons. Let me hear from you guys first. What do you think about macroing?
You know what? I have macros on all my characters, honestly, and I have a lot of pros and a lot of cons. My biggest con is it really pulls away some sort of interactivity if you're trying to eke out every last point of DPS. I mean, I have a character, my cleric, one of my druid spec, I just basically sit there and smash one throughout a raid with a beard in my hand. It puts out good DPS, but it's not as interactive and fun as I want it to be.
Right. It's kind of how I am with it. Also, I've noticed, and I'm not going to say names, I've noticed people we run with don't understand, like, when the mage changes came through. A couple people in particular, their DPS dropped through the floor because they didn't understand the rotation and what it did. They just got a macro, put it together, and smashed one button. And, you know, it's great DPS then, but if one small thing changes, you have no idea what your macro actually does and why it does it. So I think that's the only negative I see towards macroing, really, aside from the interactivity.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah, I think once you get to a rating standpoint, by that point you should, in theory, have clawing your way up, learn how to play your class. At that point, I view macroing as good because it becomes the good of the raid, not the good of your entertainment, in theory.
Right. Well, that goes to one more thing. I have 6 bars up. Almost all of my damn bars are full. Macros help me put everything down to keyed numbers that I can cast things more efficiently and faster, and it takes up a lot less space.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. I don't know. The pros and cons and the evils, like, some people think it's cheating, which I don't think it's cheating at all. I mean, it's an option in the game. But it does take away from the gameplay. It does get boring, because I have that same spec, Ceresia, and it's just like click, 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 or whatever you're spamming, and you're not doing anything else but that. And then you get in a situation where somebody's like, could you cast this one thing to, you know, interrupt the mob or whatever? And you're like, I don't even know what that is. Right. It's in your macro or whatever. You're like, what is it called? What does it look like? I don't even know if I have it.
Exactly. And, okay, in all fairness, the guy I'm talking about was not a mage. And that's exactly how everybody knew something was wrong, because he couldn't find a cleanse. And we were like, what? Hold on. I don't. And he said he didn't have one. And then we're all like, why don't you have one? And then he's like, oh, I do. Oh, I'm sorry. And, you know, we've run enough raids with the guy to be like, okay, well, you have a cleanse, right? Yeah, and immediately, oh, everyone knew. Well, it's because he's always macroed, and he doesn't know what's on that macro. So, you know, he doesn't have a need for cleanse on his bar because, why? You know, he's never cast it.
Yep.
So, yeah. And that came up tonight. At one point, one person was cleansing Squirrel off of the entire raid, but there's got to be like 5 people there with cleanse.
Yes.
And you know, it's a little like, whoa, you know, we've all got cleanse. I mean, are you that worried about your DPS? One button?
Right.
One button is going to mess you up that bad? So yeah, let's move on. Well, you know, I'm going to talk about this too. Another thing with macros I think make people lazy, and I was going to skip over this, but we can segue into it and real fast. I put a link to Gurgen's blog. And I love Gurgen's blog. I recommend everyone reads it. He does a lore blog, and he does a couple of articles. But he updates a lot, and he does a lot of articles about Rift. And one of them was Curse Gaming is now offering Rift mods. And I'm going to be honest, I kind of want to fool with it just to see what they have to offer, but I don't really see the need for mods in this game.
Like an add-on type of thing?
Yeah, like add-ons. It just doesn't seem to be necessary.
It's totally not. It really isn't because, yeah. I mean, most add-ons, when people think of the term add-on, there's 2 classes. There's actual gameplay add-on and then visual add-on. In terms of visual, we can edit anything we want. In terms of gameplay, maybe I can see that.
Right, and then I'm thinking, like, immediately, like, I think this is why I'm going to probably check it out, is what could you add right now to gameplay statistics or depth that isn't here now? Like, the only thing I can think of is, like, the mail thing. And maybe the auctioneer thing, you know, so you can be like, what things are moving for on the auction house? Like, keeping a data log of that. Outside of that, I can't think of much.
I can't even see that. You just go to town and look. I mean...
Well, if you're trying to track trends over a month period of time, which is something that WoW AH mod used to do, you can't do that unless you're doing it physically on paper in Excel spreadsheet you're keeping yourself. You're able to actually scan the auction house and keep a storage of price, so when you open your bag, you hover over and, oh, look, this should theoretically sell for X, Y, or Z.
Right. Mm. It pretty much does the same way DPS scoring works. It does the same thing for the prices of items. It says, well, it was this much this day, and it's this much that day, and this is what your average is right now on the auction house. But, you know, it seems to be going up or more useful at this time. You know, like, my auctioneer was so up to date that I had the one where it would tell me, like, if an event was out, it would be like, well, it's normally worth this, but there's an event right now that requires this, like small eggs. Small eggs were like, would drop everywhere, and no one ever wanted small eggs. But one week, I sold small eggs for like a one gold per, gold was the highest currency. I sold eggs for one gold a piece, and they're like lobby level drops. So I could see that. But outside of that, not much. And again, that goes right back to I don't take the game that seriously. Like, I love the game, and I love playing it, but this is what I do to decompress. I don't want to stress about how much money I'm making today and what the value of this really is.
Couldn't be it.
So, all right, well, let's move on a little bit and talk about something else. Now, this was not Icarus' topic, but I really want to talk about it because it amused me so much. There is an article on the thing. We're going to go over it real fast, but it's a forums link, and I want to hear from you guys. But the biggest thing was, this isn't in the topics. I was going to talk about this. I forgot all about it. I just saw it. Not the thing that's in the forums. You guys should check it out. Silent Guild, check that out. I'm going to jump to something else, which is funny. Have you guys seen the gold farmer spam for the, it says, hey, you can get a horse if, you put me on your Ascendant Friend program.
No, I haven't heard that.
It's going around. Have you seen that, Cersei?
No, I haven't. I'm kind of sad I didn't.
Okay. Okay. I'm trying to get a transcript of the funniest conversation you can get from one of these gold farmers. And not to sound racist, but I'm actually going to try and do it myself and try and put in the line, well, if I did that, would you love me long time? And see if they will actually respond with something like, you know, not trying to be funny, like if they're like seriously like, I love you forever, you know, so that I can, you know, okay.
They probably would, actually.
Yeah, I want to get that transcribed. But here's why this is the biggest bullshit thing I've ever seen in my life. Now, for people that don't know or didn't listen to the little special edition that I put out, thanking everyone for helping us become a fan site. Again, you know what? Big thanks to Karis and Drake, who really, really held my hand through doing this, because I know shit about the internet. And they helped me. So, yeah. So here's how it works. The Ascended Friend Program works this way. If you have a friend and you invite them, they use your Ascended Friend Program key, they get a 7-day trial. At the end of which, if they decide after they use that key to buy a copy and then add it to that account, you get an in-game item. Now, the first one is the hat, the second one's the dog, the third
first
one.
The dog.
First the dog, then the hat, then the fiery-footed horse. Here's the problem. We all know that the trial servers are coming. How the trial servers, I've been led to believe, are going to work is that trial accounts that are not anchored to an Ascender Friend account will be put on the trial server. So if you want to continue to use free, like right now, I see iBadDean advertising, okay, for whatever website. iBadDean is using a free account, a trial account. Well, the nice thing is going to be there will be no workaround. iBadDean will be on a trial server, so it's just going to be advertising to other trial accounts, which will most likely be 50% gold farmers, unless you got anchored to a server through an Ascender Friend account. So their con right now is this. If you send them your Ascender Friend account, it gives you the opportunity to build towards that horse, because they're going to buy a copy of the game for you. Well, for them to you. For you. And it's the biggest bullshit thing I've ever heard, because A, why? You don't get a discount using mine. B, you're going to get a trial account that you're going to... I mean, exactly what do you think happens here? Like, you get a trial account, I get a little dog, hooray us! No. So, they're trying to convince people that that's what happens. That you get they get a free account, and you get a little dog. And what really happens is you're now hip anchored to a gold farmer. So when he fucks up, Treon can come looking for you. And be like, hey, did you sponsor these guys?
That's so skeevy. I mean, I would never even do that.
It just amuses the shit out of me. Go ahead, sir.
I got my horse. I don't have to worry about that anymore.
I don't have a horse.
Well,
I need one.
Rough played, my wife played, so I got a horse. So, I mean, honestly, like, if everyone that got an account since I started playing was still playing, I could, like, almost field, let's see, I could field like six people. My son bought an account, and he stopped playing. Because, you know, he's annoying.
messed up.
It's not Xbox enough for him. Let's see. My best friend, Ruff, bought one. My brother-in-law bought one, who is B-Slack in our guild. My brother bought one. So, I, you know, it's not hard to get people to buy it. My wife bought one, obviously. So it's not hard to get people to buy it. You can get to that horse pretty easily just sharing your in-game experience. Which is super easy, because you can link shit to YouTube and Facebook, and then those two use, like, synergy, and they, like a boss, and they use, like, this super system that they're like, oh, you know, we'll put your YouTube link on your Facebook. So you can share with people. It's not hard to get people to come on your Center Friend program.
Yeah, I've actually seen people post them on a forum, like begging people, please use my link.
Which is dangerous now, because then you'll be like, oh, I'd love to use your link. Me love your link long
love time. Time. Oh, yeah.
Me love your link all night long. Let's see. Okay, so what else was it? Evil pugs. Evil pugs.
Evil pugs, yeah.
This is Karis' subject. She's taking this one. Go ahead, Karis.
Well, just opinions on what do you do when you're an evil pug. Because some people, like in the guild, they really hate to group outside of the guild. Because you can trust the people in the guild, and in a pug, you just have no idea what's going to happen. Me personally, I don't care if I pug or not. But sometimes you just run into that bad group. So what do you do?
Well, you know, let's go deeper. Give me an example. What do you think, for instance, I know you recently had a bad experience. So.
Oh, yeah. I was on my alt, and I got into one of those random pug groups, and we were in a dungeon. We were in Deep Strike Mines, and we were doing a quest, and we had failed this quest 3 times. And it's the one where you click on the orb, and all those skeleton guys come in, and you gotta stay in the center to succeed. And we failed, like, 3 times, and I'm like, okay, guys, we need to stand in the center. And then the leader of the group says, it's a knockback, calm down. And I was like, okay, I don't need the update. And I put a little smiley face, like, joking. And then he said, okay, bye-bye, and just booted me, like, instantly. And I was like, whoa, I don't even know what I did. And he booted me while we were in there, and they pulled those skeletons and watched them try to hit me and everything, but I was able to survive. But they were going to watch me die.
Wow. All right, well, yeah. let's put a couple notations into this whole thing. One, if you play it on a server long enough, there are some telltale signs when you get into a group that you're going to have a problem. And those are problems that you can work around by recognizing them or know ahead of time, yeah, this isn't going to work out. This is going to be a problem. I am ready to go when this goes south. Now, one of them is they were in a guild. They were in a guild that is notorious for quantity over quality. And I mean, like, way over quantity over quality. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we recruit everyone guild. We take everyone. Come on in. Sit on down. All you got to do is wear a tag. We love you. And that tends to allow a lot of bad apples to accumulate in one place. So sometimes the guild tag is enough for you to know, hey, this is a heads up, this could be a problem. Now, that does not mean you should judge players by the guild tag, but it should be like, raise your eyebrow. I understand that you might be a problem in the future, so let me be careful how this goes. Now, there's some places, like, you can just go all out DPS and nuke and do all kinds of stuff and, you know, just have a good time, but if you have the warning, you know, look out for them. Two, another big warning is, after the first pull, bad tanks and bad healers are normally the first person blamed. And a good warning sign is the first person to yell at someone for being the problem. That is generally another big tip. So,
yeah, usually I just deal with it. I'm like, whatever, you're going to run into some jerks. And I'm like, okay, let's just finish this place.
Right. And there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, in the end, people are going to be people. I mean, they're no better or worse than anyone you could run into on the street. I mean, that's just the truth of it. Generally, human beings are self-motivated and drama ensues. So the one thing is, and we're going to lean into this next part here because I think the two of them are intertwined, is personal responsibility. And I've said it on the show before, manners and fucking awesomeness. If you can't do both, you're not really doing either. I mean, that's pretty much how it goes. If you go into a group, and I used this example once before. If you're power leveling somebody, okay, and on WoW, this used to be a very popular thing. You'll power level players through a dungeon. And what they do is they pay you a gold up front and then a gold after the run. So it's 2 gold, okay? If you're a dick, but you are the guy just carrying through the dungeon, people still aren't going to want to go with you. I mean, it's just a fact. It doesn't matter what you're doing or how awesome you are. I'd rather go with someone that wasn't being an asshole to me the entire 30 minutes we're together. That is just a fact. It doesn't matter how awesome you are. You can solo this dungeon all by yourself. It's proven. Power leveling is exactly that. And if you're a dickhead, nobody wants to get power leveled by you. Everybody'd rather just wait for somebody that's not a dickhead to come along and do that. It is just the truth of the fact. You can be awesome and still suck. Manners and fucking awesomeness go hand in hand.
Oh, they really do. I mean, if you're sitting there and you're not owning up to what you're doing, whether it's acting like an asshole or failing miserably at the group, you're not doing the group any good. At least if you're upfront about it, say, hey, I know my DPS isn't good, or trying to make an effort to learn what's going on, then it's okay.
Right, right. Personal offense in a video game has no place. Oh, you're not keeping your DPS up, man. Is there something wrong? That is a valid question. Hey, you suck, why don't you leave, is not a valid question. So if you overreact to the other as if it was the first, you know, hey, why don't you fucking leave, it does not equal, hey, what's wrong with your DPS, man? It's a very reasonable, workable situation. And not everybody has to just freak out and be like, oh, I don't believe you did that, or I don't believe you, you got, you know, XYZ, and you're not calling your DPS or your heals or suck, or find out what the problem is and be reasonable. And you'd be surprised how much people will like to hang out with you, no matter where you are.
It goes far. Yeah, it goes really far in a game like this, because you're seriously not going to run into that. Very far and in between will you run into someone that's actually nice, or polite, or, you know, just decent.
Friendly. Just
friendly. Yeah.
Friendly, yeah. I want to play with people, you know, and you know, people often, like, try and cite that. Oh, you know, this is, that's what MMOs have always been. I got into a conversation the other night, which, and I had forgotten about this game so long ago, but the very first MMO was actually a game called Realm, okay? But regularly I hear people refer to WoW being the first MMO. And it's not even the closest. And it is the one that suddenly became individual responsibility for individual game. It suddenly took the multiplayer aspect out of the game and turned it into massive single-player online RPG is what it started becoming. And that's what Rift does differently, which I think people have trouble adjusting to.
Well, Rift doesn't really do it that much differently. It's still along that vein, if you want to be technical. It's nowhere near as group necessary or focused as, say, EverQuest or all the older, really, really intensive games. Those games, you really needed a community in order to even do anything. In this game, you can just run up and solo your way to the end game and then mess around in a pug if you really wanted, but it's not the same, you know what I mean?
Right. I mean, absolutely. And there are so many pushes in this game. Well, not pushes. I go gentle nudges. Invasions. Rifts. That automatically have this button pop up above you to, you know, form a group of people standing around doing it together. So that you all reap, you know, mutual reward. And, okay, so we go to the LFG system now and apply that same thought. People randomly getting put into a group to do the same thing with the same goal. And balance. I mean, it's not like your group needs something it doesn't have. And I've gotten into groups where, like, the tank, you know, cleric tanks took a big hit. Okay, they did. And they have a little bit more trouble now holding threat than they used to. Because it used to be, you just walk in and heal yourself, and that was all the threat you needed. And now, it's a little bit different. And I haven't played mine enough to really know what the difference is. But I get into groups, and I get with a cleric tank that isn't used to the change, and he's not holding aggro. And on CB, I pull a shit ton of threat when I crit, because my crits will generally hit back-to-back. And I'm all single target, so it's not even I'm pulling threat on all of these targets at once and you're doing AoE threat. I can pull the guy that has the least threat off of you instantly. I don't blame that guy. I can change how I'm playing. And I don't need to freak out and melt down and be like, oh, fuck you, and fuck your inability to hold threat right now. Which is fine to me that I'm telling you guys from my end what's wrong with you guys. Classes. Something occurred
well done.
That you're both clerics, but...
Yeah, whatever.
But it happened. It happened. You know, they changed Justicars, and their ability to hold threat was a little bit more difficult. And I can adjust how I play to make that easier on him. And if I don't, and I've said this before, there's this great saying that's gone through a couple of MMOs. If, and this is the tank speaking, okay? The tank looks at you and says, if the healer dies, it's my fault. If I die, it's his fault. If any of you fuckers die, it's your fault. And that, you know, that still holds. People can still work under that system. You know, you can have personal responsibility in a dungeon, and it will make your experience better, instead of looking for other people to blame. Instead of saying, hey, how can I make this your fault? Say, hey, helping you helps me. How can we make this better? We, not you. It's so funny that there was actually a silence there that I'll be cutting out after the show, but I'm in Meridian, and a cricket sounded as soon as that silence went on for a couple of seconds.
You're talking about a perfect world and a perfect gaming world. I mean, these are just fakey tunes. I mean, you're lucky when you group up with a good group of people. Like, in our guild, we have a lot of awesome people. And, you know, you have your disputes and whatnot. But, yeah, okay, it'd be great if people were accountable for what they do and be nice.
Look, if you run with anyone in our guild, it's crazy fun. If you run with the people in Pauper Villains, it's crazy fun. We die. We joke. It's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
Once you take that aspect of frustration out, dungeons become a breeze and a ball.
Oh, yeah, I agree totally.
Well, you know what? I'm going to put this out there so that I can show that I'm not so much talking about a perfect world. You can change, and I mean this, like it happened to you, right? And then all of the guys in the group were represented by one douchebag, right? You didn't turn around, though, and be like, all these guys were assholes, right?
Oh, no. Well, that's just not me.
Right. Well, I know. So, but
you'd be excited if I'd done that.
Well, yeah, I'd have been like, hell yeah, let's let's start a hate mail chain and just fuck these people out of the fucking server. Just, I hate these motherfuckers. They should all burn. What'd they do? I don't know. They made Karis mad. That's enough for me. Rawr. Holy shit. I've seen people do horrible things to her, and she's just like, it's okay. I live. It's all right. It's water under the bridge. If she wants to kill somebody, I'm with her. Let's kill them. They need killing.
Well, if I want somebody to die, yeah, you know it's big.
So, all right, but let me get back to a serious point. It personal responsibility there, right, to solve that problem is I do not get along with everybody in Reborn. And I butt heads with people a lot. I butt heads with Ish before. Trizzle, man, I love going around with Trizzle. I butt heads with Trizzle. But afterwards, we still have a great experience together because that is who I am. That is who he is. That is why it worked. You know, it doesn't matter, I guess, in the long run, if you're having a difference of opinions with someone, as it does that difference shouldn't make the other three people in this group have a bad experience. More importantly, we don't have a bad experience, the two of us, because it happens, we disagree, and it's over, and we move forward. There are people in Proper Villains I have a problem with, too. Kenny's one of those people. I am constantly getting into word disputes with Kenny. And Kenny's like, well, you know, that's not what you said. No, Kenny, that's exactly what I said. And then we go back and forth. But in the meantime, that group is still excellent and it's a well-oiled machine, and these can be people we've never run with before. It's all about personal responsibility, not letting your bullshit flow over into finding someone to blame. If we bombed, it's not because Kenny and I are having a conversation that doesn't have anything to do with the group. We bombed because I wasn't pulling my weight, somebody else wasn't pulling their weight. We look for that, and we try and fix it communally instead of looking for blame. It's not a perfect gaming world. It's how, if you're finding you're having a lot of problems with pugs, that's the only real step you can take. The only real step you can take is you can't change them. You should change you. You should, you know, take a deep breath, hold your chin up, and be like, okay, fuck it. I can make this work. And if it's that stagnating that you can't, walk away. And do it without bias. Don't be like, ah, you guys fucking suck. I can't stand being around you. I hope you all die and burn to death from cancer. Because there's fire cancer, and that's horrible. You know.
Oh my god.
My mouth is like on the floor right now.
So I'm just saying, I mean, don't walk away biased and ruin the situation. Just, you know, be fair. Be like, you know, okay, I gotta walk away because this isn't working for me and I am getting upset. I could be the problem, I'm just gonna leave. Personal responsibility is the best way to go. Just be willing to admit you might be the problem and then do what you can to fix it, even if that means just walking away.
Strong mentality.
And if not, wish fire cancer on them. Not that that's a real thing. So you go right ahead. Not that, you know what, I'd like to now circumvent that statement with, I in no way want to offend people with cancer. I love people with cancer. So, that's it. I think personal responsibility would go a long way. What do you guys think? I talked a whole lot there. I need a drink.
I already told you what I thought.
I was leaning on the new guy.
Oh, sorry. Go, new
guy. I've been saying things.
That's our point. Talk.
No, it's true. I mean, you have to change the way you play when you go into certain things. I mean, certain people don't have the gear you have. Certain people don't have the experience you have. It's better to take what you know and not press it upon someone, but explain the situation, explain what the best thing to do. If they don't want to take it, that's fine. At least you've done your duty as a player on this server, your community, and are making the effort to make other people better. If you don't know it, make sure you learn it from somebody.
Absolutely. Well said, sir. Well said.
Brilliant.
That is personal responsibility. Look what you don't know and teach other people.
Right. You know, we'll go one step further on that. And this happens a lot. Recently, it's been a problem with another guild in the alliance that we have. You have to hit a point where you're willing to admit you're not geared enough to be here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I say that every day.
Yeah, really. Wait, well, that could be different in your circumstances, but... Sorry, ma'am, you're not geared enough to be here. But really, it comes down to, you know, being able to accept that I know everyone wants to raid at 50. That doesn't mean everyone can.
Oh, totally.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? I'm gonna put this out there. We kind of hit a wall. We're at the Prince. We hit a wall, and I doubt it's a gear issue. But I got to thinking about that group those guys are running with. They got Jolin down to 4%, and obviously their problem right now is that their group has got a huge undergear problem. So let's say that they had actually achieved that little 4% margin right there. Which is saying a lot, but let's say they did. And they got to Oracle. Oracle is a much easier fight than Jolin by far. So Oracle is acceptable. If you can get by Jolin, Oracle you can do. You get to the Prince at that moment with those people that are wearing blues, and I mean a lot of blues. You have to be willing to admit that this has become an impossible thing because that fight is all about DPS and personal responsibility. If you cannot keep yourself in check and stay away from the bunny rabbit curse, the Jolin bombs, before the... What is that thing called? The soul shatter? What is that?
Soul shatter? Some of that?
Yeah. That thing comes out, and you have any damage to you whatsoever, it'll one-shot you. It'll just floor you. And that's where personal responsibility comes into that fight. You have to maintain your personal responsibility on your health and what you're doing. And if not, it will shut the raid down. Then you do have the whole DPS end. Not only do you have that personal responsibility on your end, you have to keep a high amount of damage going on this guy, because if you don't, he is going to own the entire raid. Another good example of that is you have to keep two healers on him, right? On the main tank. Why? Because if one of them gets bunny, because you can't help getting bunny, it just happens, right? That tank goes down, he dies, okay? So what is your personal responsibility then? Your personal responsibility is, A, I need to know if the other healer goes down, and B, if the other healer goes down, that's because they got turned into a bunny rabbit, which means I'm not going to get turned into a bunny rabbit, but now I got to watch out for bombs. Because if that bomb knocks me far enough away from him, he's fucked. And then the raid wipes, okay? That's just my end. So my personal responsibility then is keeping the tank alive and making sure I never get hit by a bomb, and not bunny rabbiting anybody else. Three things all at once, and all I do is heal one guy. If you're doing DPS, you've got a DPS, you've got to maintain your target, you've got to switch targets when the targets switch, you have to stay out of the bombs, you have to make sure you don't bunny rabbit anybody else, you have to keep moving with the group when they move. It is a lot going on. If you have that, on top of the fact that you guys have a 50% ratio of guys that are just wearing blue gear, this wall is going to be impossible, and you have to be willing to accept, hey, I am what holds this raid back. And that's the problem. Personal responsibility comes with also knowing when to accept someone else telling you that you are failing. Not failing, but you know, holding the rest of the guys back.
Yeah,
I think failing was a strong word.
Yeah, failing's too strong.
Failing would be like, you know, running around and pulling 200 DPS while drinking and being silly.
Oh, because that has never happened in a raid.
Never.
Never.
I've never discussed that on a show before. Oh. But that's a good point. Go ahead, Karis.
I was going to say, some of that responsibility also lies with the raid leader, and, you know, when you choose the people that are going to be in your raid force, if you're lucky like us, we can fill out a raid and have some standbys. We have to make sure that the people that are best geared and those people that know how to play their tune well are in the raid. I mean, there are some people that are here and they want a raid, but they're wearing all blues, or, you know, they just don't play their tune well and they need to look at their spec and work with people and look at the parser. All those things come into play.
Yeah, that's a harsh reality. You know, it's not just you. It's not just you.
Well, I think that there, like you said, there's a whole lot of responsibility put on the raid leader. I mean, there comes a point in the raid where certain bosses, Duke, get on farm, and certain bosses, Prince, become a pain in the ass. So you take the lower geared people, stick them in Duke, and let them try and get some gear, have the people in the upper echelons of DPS sit, and then do some swapping. As long as the people you're running with are okay with that, then that's great. That means that the good raiders, or sorry, the higher DPS, have done their personal responsibility by helping the guild. The raid leader's killing things, and the lower geared people are getting stuff.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with that. And you know what? I'm going to address this too. And I'm going to put this completely out there. Drake and I butted heads once not too long ago, and I'm going to put it out on internet national format. I was wrong. Drake said, with the way things go, we're not there yet, but we're going to hit a point where I'm going to know why we don't run two raid groups. I now know the answer to that question. When you hit this wall, it's hard. It is hard just to get the coordination of the guys you need there. But then, if you had two raid groups going, that raid force would be split, and neither of you would be accomplishing the task. Focusing on the tactic to get it down with the guild the first time is the most important thing. Like, again, fucking Duke, Jolin, and Oracle. And we were all shocked when we couldn't drop Oracle the first time. We were all like, what just happened? It was
yeah, right?
Like, what just happened? But yeah, that's when it, you know, it. I understand now, and I was wrong. I was wrong. One time. It happens, you know, every dog has his day, so this is Drake's. Bastard cakes. That's what I got to say about that.
Bastard cakes.
All right, so anything else? Any surprise questions? Science, anything like that?
No, I have no science questions. Nothing for science.
You answered mine, so I'm good.
Damn, I wanted to close with another pop question. I enjoyed that so much.
I'll make sure she has them for you next week.
Yeah, we'll conspire together. I'll have one for you.
All right. Well, man, I hate to go out on that, but I guess we're done.
I have to give a shout-out, though.
Go ahead. Shout-out.
I have a shout-out for Liz. She is a big fan of the show, and Liz is Drake's girlfriend, who is playing the game. Hello!
Who's playing right
Hi,
now?
Liz!
Who is the mother of the term Bastard Cake. That's yours, Liz. Bastard Cake. All you. You know what? Murder Castle was born in Reborn Destiny, and now we have Bastard Cake. So, all right. I'm enjoying Bastard Cakes way too much.
I miss Murder Castle.
I lost all that, too. When I did the new computer, I lost everything. I don't have the original commercial. I don't have... Yeah, I'd have to cut it out of another show. I've been thinking about it, but I lost everything. So it's okay. It's okay. I got Mumble now. I'm good. I'm happy again. All right, well, that's it. I guess that's the show. You know what? A Guardian guy came running up tonight while I was doing the invasion after they raid and said, "Oh my god, you're CB. I thought you were a Guardian." Which is funny to me, because your name is Pixie. P-I-C-K-I-S-E. Pixie. I might have spelled that wrong, but I don't care. I mean, I mentioned you. I don't have to spell too. But, I close out every show with a saying, which, you know what? What is the closer I do at the end of every show, Karen?
We are the Defiant.
Now, how did you think I was a Guardian? But
maybe he never listened to the end of the show.
I don't know. Maybe. But he said he loved the show. I wanted to put a shout out to him. Anytime you tell me in the game, I will try and mention you. Write in. And I want to put that up there again. It's on a special episode, but I'm going to put it on this one. If you can transcribe a funny conversation with a gold farmer, I will read it on the air. I will link to it. Everything will be up. I cannot say that enough. If you can have a funny conversation with a gold farmer, send it to me. But yeah, that's where I am right now, because they need you right now. Before those trial servers become active, they'll talk to you about anything.
Yeah, they totally will, actually. We talked to a whole bunch of gold farmers on our old WoW server. We had friends of them, actually. One of them was a sweetheart.
Yeah. That's because he wanted your money. I mean, to sell you gold.
No, he wanted company while he farmed.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Hey, you know what? Something Mame wanted to talk about, and I did want to touch on this, because personal responsibility had something else going on. We had two problems at a water raid, and Mame, I cannot forget this, Mame is a great contributor to the show, too. Mame is the guy that keeps me on my toes, because I met Mame because he was a fan of the show. So that's Riff Runners working for more content for you right there. We did a water raid, and on the personal responsibility note, this guy got mad and started accusing us of ninja looting because he passed on some item. Now, this was a problem for me because we're just doing our normal PV thing, and we've been on the server maybe 3 or 4 days. And we're mostly PV and Reborn guys in this raid, and we filled 5 slots. And other people had rolled Creed before this guy passed. It's not like he was immediately like the first one to pass. People were rolling before he passed. Personal responsibility kicks in for me to say, now he's chewing me out, and I tried to have tells and be like, I'm really sorry you misunderstood, and you know, go ahead and, you know, if there's something I can do to make it up to you, I will. I'm really sorry you misunderstood. And this guy's cussing me out, nothing I can see. And then he accuses me, not me actually, he accused Dre of being a ninja looter. Which is fucking retarded. Like, he rolled greed and won something. What is this guy talking about? Well, this guy kept bitching and kept going on, and then something happened. Now, we were new here, and these other 4 people just flip mode on this guy. Like, just went off. He's always a problem. He needs to learn to shut the fuck up and all this. And not STFU. Like, they were, like, full typing. Shut the fuck up. And
that's pretty serious.
There was no serious censoring.
Yeah. Ice used all the fucking letters on you, dude. And you're a jackass.
No shorthand for your ass.
Fuck you and your shorthand needs. I needed to tell you so you understood. I didn't want you to think I meant sunshine, tits, and fudge up you. No. No, it was shut the fuck up. So, that personal responsibility happened. Also, I cannot say this enough. If you bought, you ruined the game for other people. You do. If you bought, and I know you guys are out there, if you bought, if I have not said bought enough yet, if you bought, you are fucking this game up for other people. Here's why. If you bought, and you are next to a raid of guys, and they get down to the last boss, and you send your tank pet in, and he pulls that boss aggroes everything with an AoE, if he has one, which the last boss on the Water Rift does. So if we're all standing together getting ready, and someone says, hey, I think that guy just pulled. And the next thing we know, we're all getting targeted by the little rain down AoE thing she does, where if you're standing too close to somebody else, your AoE overlaps each other.
Oh, downpour.
Yeah. Well, we were all clumped up. Like, you know, we're getting ready for the next pull. Yeah. Raid wipe. Raid wipe. You know what knows worse? When it happens a second time, we're rezzing, somebody uses their group res as we're popping up on the guy rezzing us. Guess what? Boom! We're all dead again. So if you bought, you're fucking the game up for everybody else. And I can't wait for them to catch you and take your account away. If you bought. So okay, that's it for me. That's my little soapbox. I'm really upset about people that bought. If you bought.
Bastard cake.
Yeah, bastard, that's right. You bought bastard cakes. Get you a tall fucking murder castle special. That's what you need. All right, anyways. All right, that's the show. I am not Liv. I am CB. Or Chuck.
And I am Karis. Or Suze.
This is where you say goodbye, Cerisia. And I'm Cerisia. Bye!
to say. All right. This is Riff Runner. Thank you for listening. Write in the show, dimrootriffrunners@gmail.com. Comment on the show. 5-star us on iTunes. I don't know. But you can reach us now at riffrunners.info. That's all you need. Everything is there. So that's it. This is Riff Runners. We are the Defiant.
Fucking MC name. I don't need a goddamn MC name. I got nothing to hide. You got something to say.
George Watsky doesn't need a fucking MC name.
Fucking MC name. I don't need a goddamn MC name. I got nothing to hide. You got something to say.
George Watsky doesn't need a fucking MC name.
What's in a name? Man, flow comes first. I'm never gonna curse that I get it worst when I roam the earth. It's a ridiculous coincidence that shows my worth. You know, my parents went and chose my MC name at birth. I don't need a massacre.